Good morning. This is Naeem Rahim, and we welcome you to House Call. My brother is traveling today, which is a good thing for me because I showed up on time. I woke up early. Early means about 30 minutes ago. He's not here to bug me, and hopefully he will not call in either. We are very excited to have a great show today. We have three guests today, Dr. Greg Koester. He's a pediatrician, Dr. Kendra Westerhaus, who's a PhD psychologist, and Alex Lemon, pediatrics clinic administrator. And they're all from HealthWest. A lot of you people know about HealthWest. So we'll tell you a little bit about what the new HealthWest program is. Well, welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good to be here.
Good morning. So, Alex, can you tell me what HealthWest is all about? I know that it is a federally qualified clinic. What do those clinics do, and what do they mean?
So HealthWest, as you said, is a federally qualified health center. A lot of what we do is we see everybody regardless of their ability to pay. So anybody
that's a novel idea in healthcare.
Yeah, it is. So anybody, you know, uninsured, underinsured, really, anybody that walks through our doors, regardless of their ability to pay, we will see them. We do all of our services on a sliding fee scale.
Okay.
So depending on like the income of the patient, their copays or what they pay for their visits, their office visits, are dependent on what they make yearly.
That's amazing. So that's a prerequisite to have a federally qualified health clinic. Are there others like these in the area? In the eastern Idaho?
Yeah, so HealthWest Pediatrics is actually the ninth location for HealthWest. Mm-hmm. We have them all the way down to Preston down south, out in American Falls and Aberdeen. We have two here in Pocatello and then the ISU Family Medicine Residency. But then there are some that are not HealthWest locations, but there are some like in Idaho Falls and Blackfoot as well.
That kind of the extension. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting for me to see the patients in this community that are referred by HealthWest and the kinds of patients who get seen by them. There are a lot of times, and I shouldn't say that all of them, because HealthWest is for everybody.
Yep.
I should not make it sound like that it's only for the people who cannot afford to go anywhere.
Right.
I've seen very good insurance patients who choose to go to HealthWest because they get very good service.
Yeah.
And I've at the same time seen patients who cannot afford to go anywhere else being taken exactly the same care of like anybody else.
Yep.
So I'm very impressed with the services the providers at HealthWest do provide. Could you tell me, Dr. Koester, what is the needs for a pediatric specialty of HealthWest? Why?
Well, we noticed that in Pocatello and Chubbuck that we had more patients than we could see with the existing services.
Okay.
So we saw that some patients weren't able to get in as fast as they wanted to when they needed care. And so HealthWest decided that they needed to offer this service. HealthWest is a service-based organization. We offer things that people need, even if it's not a really high volume need. So it's not about making money because we have a high need for something. It's about offering a service.
Right, as the need arises.
As the need arises. So we noticed we had a need for more pediatricians in the area.
Hey, Dr. Koester, you moved here from Texas.
That's correct. I was most recently in San Antonio, Texas.
I moved about
2 months ago.
It's a little warmer down there, isn't it?
It is much warmer. I love this weather.
Yeah, and the River Walk at San Antonio apparently is the big deal.
It's a very nice location.
So you're adjusting to Idaho. We are... They're very kind people here in Idaho, like most of the places. I moved here about 20 years ago and just totally fell in love with it. I hope you stay here for a long period of time. Now, tell me, why HealthWest and why in a field which clearly is not really a kind of business which a lot of physicians and providers are going into right now, where the driving force is mostly money, here at HealthWest, you guys seem to be doing, like you said, services for the sake of providing service, which is a novel idea.
Well, I got my start in the military.
Okay.
I got all my training through the military. I went to a military medical school even.
Right.
And one of the nicest things about working in the Air Force was that we saw people and got them what they needed Not right. Obviously, it wasn't based on their insurance because everyone was covered.
Right.
But we had specialists who were in locations where they were only sort of busy, and they often had to go to other military bases just to see people.
Right.
Just to see enough patients.
Right.
So it was service-based.
Right. So you're in the habit of that for now. And it is – what do you expect is going to happen once you start this clinic? What is your vision in HealthWest? Alex, you're going to be running this. What is your vision for pediatrics clinic to be like?
I think, as Dr. Koster said, we realize there's a need within HealthWest for pediatric patients, our pediatric patient population, right? And so just serving those patients that are their parents are currently, but also providing, you know, additional resources to people in the community as well.
Well, we are also joined by Dr. Kendra Westerhaus, psychologist. I wish my brother was here because he needs some deep evaluation.
I work with children.
You'll be surprised.
Yeah.
He probably would take, you know, get that help. Him and I talk about this, the need for children to have evaluations or need for children to be screened for different kind of behavioral health issues, behavioral issues, as well as learning issues. Tell me a little bit about your background and how do you plan on helping at HealthWest with that?
So I moved to the Pocatello area to attend graduate school at Idaho State University. Okay. I went through the program here, mm-hmm. and it's not a specialty-based program. It's a generalist program. So I learned a broad range of things and a broad range of patients that I worked with at the time. My interest has always been in working with children. I think there's a lot of change that can be that can happen then. I think that the early intervention is really important for a lot of these behavioral health disorders. We, in our clinic, are going to be implementing some good behavioral health integration. So we're going to have screening measures that are given to children during well child checks to check for some of the primary things that arise.
Right. As early as what age?
We'll start pretty soon after birth looking for some things. We're looking at basically developmental milestones and seeing if they're met. If kids aren't meeting developmental milestones, there can, of course, be a number of reasons. Sometimes it then crosses over into the behavioral health realm with like a neurodevelopmental disorder, something like an autism spectrum disorder or language delays. We'll make referrals to any other services that might be appropriate, but we want to make sure we catch those things early.
Dr. Koster, how important is mental health in the wellness of these children?
Mental health is probably the primary unmet need of children in this country currently. We're doing a very good job overall of meeting the medical needs of children.
Right.
We have quite high immunization rates. We could do better.
Sure.
And we do a good job of making sure that kids have good nutrition for the most part. But the behavioral health needs is where we are. That is the most unmet need, where we have a large number of issues coming up with children that are not addressed or are addressed not effectively.
So a lot of people who are listening to this, you know, we have a lot of old school listeners as well, and this is Idaho, of course. They'll say, you know what, when I grew up, we had none of these problems, right? Nowadays, doctors throw pills at us. And there might be some truth to the throwing the pills part, but how about, are there interventions that don't require medications? People will be scared of, what do you think, Dr. Westerhaus? Are there?
Absolutely.
Nobody wants their kids to be walking around like zombies just because they were too fast or yelling. My kids will all be on medications otherwise.
You know, when we look at something like depression, anxiety, ADHD, some of these things that happen very commonly for all ages, especially in childhood, the best treatments are sometimes the therapeutic interventions alone, and other times they're a combination of therapeutic interventions and medication, but they rarely tend to be medication alone for those things.
So the vision for you guys is to have a team approach towards mm-hmm. these problems and screen most of the people. The team approach kind of thing, is that something you're bringing from the Air Force as well, Dr.?
No, I would say that HealthWest does it better.
Does it? Really?
Yes. We had separation, a pretty rigid separation of services when I was in the Air Force. The behavioral people were in their own wing of the hospital or clinic, and they were not directly in the clinic. Kendra is literally across the hall from my office.
Wow.
Yesterday or the day before, we had a she was seeing a patient that she thought had a medical issue, and she came and got me. So right there in the visit that was supposed to be for behavioral health, I was able to start a medical appointment.
Right.
And I can do the same thing in reverse. If I see a patient who I say, this child clearly has a behavioral health issue, and Kendra's right there, I can ask her to come in and get started.
And do you think somehow the issue of mental health, and I'm focusing a little bit on mental health, because we tend to silo our children as children and don't see them as future adults. The ones who are going to be carrying the load of this this next generation will be carrying the load of this country and everything else on their shoulders. Do you think we are overlooking this as a nation at this point? Is that what we are doing? Or is there something else as parents can do, Kendra, at this point, to lessen this or even identify mm-hmm. problems that can be met?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a complicated question. Sure. I think that
I'm a complicated kind of guy.
I guess so. We, you know, the behavioral health needs of Americans in general tend to be unmet at times. We know that a lot of individuals see their primary care providers, so pediatricians for kids, and that's where they first bring up these issues. I saw a statistic that said that it takes approximately 7 years for maybe some of the first symptoms to get a diagnosis at times, right. Which in childhood years, that's a lot of time.
Yeah, that's almost like dog years.
Right? Yeah, right. So I think if we look at that, and if we say that we, for parents, when they are coming in for a well child check, we'll be looking and making sure everything's going as it should be for behavioral health as well as for physical health. Parents can, if they have concerns, bring them up to their pediatrician and hopefully get a referral to behavioral health as well.
What are Dr. Koster, the kind of things that a parent should be looking for?
Well, there are a lot of things, of course, that you're watching for. And it's, for the most part, anything that seems outside the range of normal, what doesn't seem right, doesn't seem like the child is keeping up with other children in some way. For instance, it might be that they're not socially getting along with other children of their age, whereas all the other kids seem to be getting along.
Right.
A child who isn't speaking as clearly as other kids, or they don't have as rich of a vocabulary.
Right.
A child who is unable to do certain physical things that other children of their age are able to do. A child who's delayed in walking.
A lot of these milestones that the other children are achieving and this child does not achieve should be a warning sign for parents to look for, and not necessarily would mean that there is some kind of pathology involved. You would agree, right? But it's still worthwhile to bring it up to the physician to make sure that we screen for the problems in case there are.
Yes, but by the time a child is about 6 years old, they should be able to do pretty much everything an adult could do physically: run, jump, stand on one foot, spin in circles, do somersaults, all those things.
I still can't do somersaults.
Okay, maybe not all adults then.
That's right.
But they obviously won't be as coordinated with these things as an adult who's had decades of practice at it. Mm-hmm. But they should be doing all those things. And there's a fairly uniform way that children achieve all these milestones over the first few years. Most of us are familiar with simple things like when a child should first talk, when they should first walk, usually about 1 year of age. Specifically 12 months, not 1 year anywhere in there.
Right.
They should be making two-word sentences by the time they're 2 years old.
Right. And they should be making sense by the time they're 43.
But, definitely.
Sometimes that doesn't happen. That's why my brother is not here. I want to take a quick break. Our phone number is 208-282-4555. We're talking about HealthWest Pediatrics office that they're starting, the services they're starting, and children's well-being as such. So we'll be back. If you have any comments, please do call.
This is KISU-FM Pocatello, Idaho Falls, Rexburg. Also available on your Amazon or Google smart speaker with the command play KISU.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Naeem Rahim. We are here at House Call discussing with Dr. Greg Koster, Dr. Kendra Westerhaus, and Alex Lemon. They're all from HealthWest. They just started the Health West Pediatrics facility in Southeast Idaho, in addition to multiple other facilities that Health West has. There are a bunch of physicians here, so we are all getting phone calls as well. So please don't start picking up your own phones. I was just looking at the New York Times. I'm sorry, guilty as charged. I do look at it every now and then. And I noticed today's headline was doctors were, should my children have, you know, we have to be, there was a main story about Times investigation about how healthcare is becoming more and more, even children are having difficulty in getting good quality care at different institutions. Alex, how do you prevent, how do you provide that service that is top-notch, that require, that it can be matched and is clear, and it is something that is affordable at the same time, but it's, again, at the level where a, one of us can go anywhere in the country and get that kind of service from a top-notch service, a place, institution. How do you make that a possibility?
Yeah, so with Health West being a federally qualified health center, we have about 40 quality measures that we report on every month for the patients that we see. So those range from, you know, screening for depression. We're talking about behavioral health needs, screening for depression, to making sure, you know, like watching the BMI for the kids and stuff like that. So throughout Health West, we report on those quality measures.
And do patients have access to that stuff? Probably. Probably somewhere.
They would, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So we report on those quality measures, but we're also a level 3 NCQA qualified patient-centered medical home. Okay. So what that means is we try to look at the whole like the patient as a whole, and right. not try to paint like our own little picture of the primary care over here, and then let, you know, the specialist paint their picture. If we refer you to a specialist, we're going to make sure that we get those referral notes back. We're going to make sure we have all the documentation, and that care is just one continuous loop, and that we're painting the whole picture for the patient instead of just our little corner over here.
Dr. Koster, I want to ask you about early learning. I've heard that that is a passion of yours, and this is something that you guys will be trying to focus on in Health West Pediatrics.
Yes, it is. Early learning and early literacy is going to be one of my primary focuses as a pediatrician.
Okay.
I think that that is something that can greatly influence the trajectory of a person's life.
Okay.
And it starts very early, a lot earlier than many of us think.
Hmm.
Literacy is probably narrowly defined as the ability to read and write, but there's a lot more to it than that. You can also add in that it's the ability to use numeracy, so math literacy. It's your ability to get along socially and emotionally with other people and to navigate making decisions as an adult
right. And
throughout life. That all starts in childhood, a lot earlier than we think. I mentioned earlier that kids often utter their first clear word at about 12 months of age, but literacy starts much earlier than that. There is a number of studies that show that different parts of the brain do their primary connections to each other during the first year or so of life. Connections are referring to one connection from a neuron to another neuron, which is a brain cell. The more connections you have from one brain cell to another brain cell, the more skills you're going to have, the better you're going to be at something. And the peak time that connections are formed is the first year. Mm. You start off shortly after birth making most of the connections for hearing and eyesight. One of the reasons that your eyes look so big when you're a baby is because they are literally 90% of the size of an adult by the time you're about 6 months old. And by the time you're 2 years old, they are adult-sized.
I think I always thought they were just amazed to be here. And like, what the heck am I doing here? I was such a cozy place, and who threw me out into this wild world?
I think that's part of it, too.
Right. But so 90% of those connections are done, like majority of those connections.
Between 2 and 6 months of age.
Wow. And sorry to interrupt, but I feel like a lot of times that time is spent with the mother, that earlier on.
It is, of course.
So is your original screening probably, well, a lot of millennials will be screaming at me, no, I take care of my children, too, but... Well, let's say it. I mean, you cannot be breastfeeding if you're a guy. So I'm sure the mom is the one who's doing that. And they can identify a lot of these things, can't they?
Absolutely. That's why we ask moms when they come in for well child checks, is your child making sounds other than crying
right.
at a certain age? Are they making eye contact with you? All these different things that verify that the child is doing what they're supposed to and developing normally.
Wow. So this does beg that question. I have these nephews. They're like a year and a half and 3 years old. And they can, and a lot of these grandparents and parents nowadays will say, they can manage and spend a lot of time on these iPhones and iPads. And they're engrossed by it. And I really feel like maybe not all of this is negative, but a lot of it could be negative. And how do you set up those boundaries, and how do you know that some of it is taking away from their literacy, to beg the word
sure,
from you?
Sure, that's a great question, because there's a lot of evidence that time spent on an electronic device, especially before 18 months of age, competes with time when the child should have been doing things with their hands,
right,
attempting to move and talking.
Right.
The American Academy of Pediatrics actually recommends that there be no screen time before 18 months of age of any sort, unless it's a video conference call with mom who's away or dad who's away.
Right.
And after 18 months, limiting it quite severely.
Are there numbers? Are there times that we would say, you know, we're using, I mean, as a child, we remember, you know, we used to have one channel on TV. And parents would put you in front of it, and you know, around between 8 and 9, that was their time to take a break. Now it seems like it's 24/7. Anytime you want to access that TV nanny, it is available.
It's very tempting. It's very tempting, and it's there all the time. You're absolutely right. There are differences, though, in the quality of what a child can watch on TV. Certain shows are very similar to an adult sitting down and reading to a child. They're
right.
Interactive, like Sesame Street, high-quality programs.
Nobody
on PBS.
Nobody watches Sesame Street anymore. Is that, you know, it's so funny. I bring that up with these younger parents. I say, do you know what Sesame Street is? Like, heck no.
I was giving it as an example. There's other right. high-quality programs,
sure,
too.
Sure, sure.
But many programs are not particularly interactive. They're not asking questions of the child.
Right.
They're not encouraging the child to get up and move and other things that you might be doing while you were reading with your child.
That's amazing. So there are, and are there resources for parents to go and check for where there are good, shows that pediatricians recommend? Or
absolutely, PBS would be a great starting point.
Okay, you sound like a hardcore Democrat here. Please, you're bringing up PBS and public, you know, radio here. But let's all jokes aside, what other literacy things are there that you think are important?
Well, I mentioned that neural connections for vision and hearing start between 2 and 6 months of age. Turns out that children are making the primary connections for language and speech from right. about 6 to 10 months of age, even before they are actually talking to you and saying their first words. You know, that's at usually the point where they're making oo and goo and ah and oh sounds.
Right.
They're practicing some of those things.
Right.
But they're actually actively receiving a lot of information from the world that will improve their connections. And so there's a key time there that you can make a difference in children's lives.
Well, it is very encouraging to see that you guys are starting this new service, which is needed. Clearly, our pediatricians are really overwhelmed. They are working very hard. Pediatricians who are already in practice here have been doing a great job for a long period of time. But we know how we are so behind in patient-to-physician ratio in this part of the country. We're like number 49. So any new addition to any services is very much welcomed. I really want to thank you, Dr. Greg Koster, who's a pediatrician, Dr. Kendra Westerhaus, PhD, who's a psychologist, and Alex Lemon, pediatrics clinic administrator, who are here to and starting this new HealthWest pediatrics facility. It seems to be a great addition, and I'm excited for you guys, and I'm excited that this is going to be good for our patients. You guys are, do you have a number that patients can call, parents can call?
Yeah, so the number is 232-3355, so it's pretty easy to remember.
Okay, I've already forgotten. What was it?
232-3355.
232-3355. That's wonderful. Dr. Westerhaus, you are, have you already started screening, and do you see the problems in our patient population at this point? Are you seeing something, a pattern over time?
You know, I've been working in the area with children for some time, and so I'm seeing a lot of the things that I've been seeing for the past several years. Kids with severe behavioral issues and anxiety and things like that. We are kind of just getting the clinic up and running to do these screenings at the Well Child Checks. So the people I've been seeing so far have kind of been referred to behavioral health already. Right. I'm really optimistic about catching some things earlier on with these screenings.
Well, we are, like I mentioned, we're excited to have this service. Dr. Costner, what are the things that you are thinking that you plan on bringing in the near future in this clinic that you're excited about?
Well, I hope to teach parents about how to read to their children to improve their brain development. And part of that will be integrating books into the appointments.
Wow.
So children can expect to see some books.
Again, another novel idea, books. What are those? Wow. Yeah, we're on the precipice of a changing society, aren't we? And we're dealing with this stuff. Well, like I said, thank you so much for being here, guys. I wish you all the best of luck, and look forward to having you guys back in some time to see your progress.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.